We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 14th chapter, the 28th Pasuk, a new subject. Bishnat Mohot HaMelech Achaz. It was the year of the passing of the King Achaz, the very wicked King Achaz ben Yotam, who, King of Israel, Achaz ben Yotam, one of the Judean kings, who decided he's going to promote paganism. Hayah HaMasah HaZeh. So the Navi Yeshayah sees the following prophecy, a prophecy about our neighbors. Not a prophecy about us, but rather about the Plishtim, this nation that had breached into the land of Israel. Al tismichi fileshet kuleich kinishma al shevet makeich. You, the Philistines, although when Achaz was king, you were able to attack, and the Philistines were able to conquer swaths of land from Israel. And Achaz, in his wickedness, God removed his strength, and so the Judean Empire fell. Much of the Judean Empire fell into the hands of the Philistines. So don't be so happy that the staff that hit you is broken. It's true that the Judean kings had ordinarily been in charge of the Philistine territories, and now you guys got the upper hand. Kimishoresh nachash yeitzeitzefa ufilyo saraf meofev. Because from the root of the snake comes out the tsefa. Tsefa in modern Hebrew is what are the names of the poisonous snakes? Huh? How do they translate sefa? Viper? Okay. And how do they translate a sarach? So there are two types of very poisonous snakes. So from that same root that the regular snake came out of, what's come out is more poisonous snakes. Snakes that are so swift, they're like the birds that fly. And the idea here is that although Achaz ben Yotam was wicked, and so he lost the power of his kingdom, and you guys gained the upper hand, his son is going to be much more pious. And so you guys just wait and see what a powerhouse the Judean Empire is yet to be. V'ra'u b'chorei dalim. The people of Israel that are currently dalim, they are currently impoverished. They will be ra'u. They will shepherd. They will graze their fat cattle, which are bechorei, which will be fat, which will be good animals. Right now they are dalim. So you have to read the verse v'ra'u bechorei, comma dalim, and will graze fat animals, comma. Who will graze those fat animals? The people who are currently impoverished. And that's the build of the verse. Ve'evyonim lavetach yirbatzu. And those that are so poor that they desire everything. The word evyon comes from the word ava, one who is constantly desiring, a person who feels like he has nothing. He's lacking everything. He wants, he desires everything. So it's a higher level of poverty. You have someone who just doesn't make ends meet, okay? But he has bread. He has a leaky roof. He can't fix it, but he has a roof. Then you have someone who wants everything. He's basically got nothing. Ve'evyonim, the people who were so impoverished, lavetach yirbatzu, they will reach a point where they could just sprawl out in confidence. Yes?
Two questions. First of all, about the Philistines, they had been under the impression that David Melech killed them all, or exiled them all, or something, and they disappeared. And then second is with regard to this last pasuk. I kind of forgot the question. So deal with the first question. If you have some time to ask, I'll let you know.
Okay, so that's a discussion among the researchers. When we speak about the Pilishtim, they seem to always inhabit the same territories in Israel. And it's questionable. The archaeologists are in doubt whether the Plishtim were consistently the same Plishtim. And that's why I translated the word Plishti, I said the nations that breach forth. Because the literal word Polesh means to breach, to break forth. That's why I didn't say the Philistines initially when we started the chapter. Because, in fact, we aren't sure if Plishti in the book of Bereishis is the same Plishti as the book of Shoftim, is the same Plishti of the book of Shmuel and Melachim and Yeshaya. Meaning it could be, that's what some suggest, that the term Plishti simply meant a nation that had broken into our territory from the sea. Not a neighboring nation, but rather a pirating nation. A nation that conquests. So, that's a question. When we say Plishti, are we always referring to the same Philistines?
So, according to that description,
I don't know. I didn't say the rabbis say this. I said the archaeologists say this. I don't know. I'm saying I don't know of a source that contradicts what the archaeologists are saying. I don't know of a source that supports it. I don't know. So Hashem is saying, although the Plishtim had enjoyed a period of success, the Jewish people are coming back. In the days of Chizkiyahu, things are going to get better. Ve'himati v'ra'av shoshech u'sheiritech yarog. Hashem says, I will kill your roots through a famine. There will be hunger in among the Plishtim that will kill the roots of the Plishtim. U'sheiriteich, and the remnants who do not die from the hunger, Yahrog, the new king, that serpent, Chizkiyahu, he will kill. That's who the Navi is describing. He's saying, from the root of the snake will come out a cobra, a serpent, some kind of venomous snake. And the idea is from the root of Achaz ben Yotam will come out Chizkiyahu, who will be a more potent and dangerous king.
I thought Chizkiyahu was righteous.
He was righteous, and that's why he was successful against the Philistines. That's why he's describing that to the Philistines he will be a poisonous snake.
So not describing him as a poisonous snake because he's like an evil guy.
Correct.
To the Philistines, you know, he's like venom.
Correct. Right. Let's continue. Remind me, please, either this week or next week, we have to go back and discuss at what period in history did this prophecy come true. But I think we should see more of the prophecy before we discuss that. Weep over your destruction. Heilili, weep. Sha'ar, you the gates of the city. Technically, the gates are what's supposed to close and protect the city. So the Navi, in poetic form, says, let the gates shed tears over the destruction, because they will be breached. Za'aki'il, let the city wail. Namog, pileshet kulech, because the Philistines will be completely melted. They will be completely destroyed. Ki mitzafon ashan ba, because the smoke is coming from the north. Ve'ein boded b'moadav. The Navi describes that Israel, who is to the northeast, of the Philistine territory will come and destroy the Philistines, and there will be no man standing alone. The Ein Bodet, there will never be a time, B'Mo'adav, among the times of war that Chizkiyahu set, that his soldiers will stand alone. The Ein Bodet, there will be none standing alone. Bodet comes from the word singular, bad. B'Mo'adav, among the times that Chizkiyahu sets to attack, you'll find that all his troops are working in unison. No one ends up standing alone. So that's the hallmarks of a well-trained army. They advance together, they retreat together, they're working together. Some suggest that the hallmark of the Philistines was their comedy, their sarcasm and cynicism. In the book of Judges, we find that they've captured our great leader, Shimshon, so they bring everyone to this huge coliseum to stand laughing at how they're tormenting Samson. We don't find that about any other nation. We find other nations had other weaknesses, but the Philistines are the ones where we find that their cynicism and their evil humor were a root of their strength and weakness. You find that the Philistines, the Plishtim, do not have a king. They have Chamishet Sarnei Plishtim, five governors. Some want to suggest that they couldn't unite under one king. It was impossible. They were joking too much. They couldn't take things seriously enough. Some want to suggest that perhaps we were impacted from them. And that's why under Samson, he could never unite an army to attack the Philistines. That he worked as a one-man show, guerrilla warfare. We don't find any other judge working that way. The great unity comes under Elkanah, Shmuel, Shaul, and ultimately David. But even when Shaul is anointed king, we find that some people mock him. And they say, Ma Yoshienu Zeh, what's he really worth? Over here, it's interesting to note that when the Navi describes the success of Israel against the Philistines, he describes the unity of Israel. You do not have unity when one is mocking the other. That's the Philistine way. How does Goliath come out? He comes out mocking for 40 days. For 40 days he's mocking Saul. When Goliath sees the victory, he takes out the tablets from the ark and makes jest, look what I got. The hallmark of the Philistines is the fact that they're making fun, that they make fun of serious things, and they cannot have unity. Our strength against them, the Navi describes the exact opposite. Ein Bodet! You won't find one man standing alone. When they come to attack, Chizkiyahu's army will work in unison, true unity. Umayane malachei goy, ki Adonai yisad tzion, uvayechesu aniyei amo. Here there's a discussion who the Navi is talking to. Uma ya'ane malchei goy. And what will the kings of the nation say? Who is he speaking to? The simple reading, Uma ya'ane malchei goy, it's discussing the messengers of the king. In ancient times, kings didn't have radios, they didn't have newspapers, so they had messengers going around collecting information. Umayane malachei goy, the messengers of the king, whose responsibilities are to bring back information. How will they tell over this victory against the Philistines? They won't say, wow, look at what a great army the Jews put together. They're going to say, ki Hashem yisad Zion. It's going to be so obvious to them. They're going to say, look, God is the one that laid the foundations of Zion. And you could see that Therefore, in Zion, in Israel, even the impoverished of his nation, even if they don't have such a good army, they take coverage in God. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, the Navi is telling the Philistines, you're going to fall, and you should know that everyone around will recognize that the strength of Chizkiyahu and the strength of the people at the time stems from God. Stems from the fact that they're people of God. So that's the simple reading of the pasuk. The issue is that very often in Tanakh, we say that the nations are not referred to as goy. I know in slang we call a non-Jew a goy, but technically that's a misnomer. We're goy. We're the only one that's called a goy, technically. Technically, the nations are called Amim and Mishpechot Amim. They're not called goy. The word goy comes from the word gave, like a back. The back is solid, meaning other parts of the body have joints. The back is one solid. You have a solid back. Yeah, the spinal cord has its components. But the back, the gav, is one smooth piece. And that's the idea of goy. And the nations are not referred to as goy. And that's why Rashi, maybe that's why, Rashi learns that Umaya ne malachei goy, what will the king of the nation, he's talking about the king of the northern 10 tribes, when they hear how successful that little small Judea is, the northern 10 tribes will fall, the northern 10 tribes will be exiled, and then they'll hear how that little Chizkiyahu with his small kingdom was able to stand up to Sancheiriv, who conquered every other nation, was able to stand up to the Philistines. He'll have no choice but to say, Ki Hashem Yisad Zion. Okay, that's because Hashem laid the foundations of Zion, and that's why Zion is the place where even the impoverished can find coverage. So the Navi is concluding the prophecy with some king, either the king of the north or the king of other nations, who will observe what's happening, the destruction of the Philistines and the success of Judea, and he'll say, wow, this is only because God's in the picture. Now, the fact that the prophecy concludes with this seems to be an indication that this prophecy is speaking about the period when Sancheiriv came after exiling the northern 10 tribes and surrounded Jerusalem. And then the Philistines were really wiped out. They had a famine. Why did they have a famine and we didn't? Because you have this huge army swooping down on Israel, destroys the northern 10 tribes. There are very few Philistines left by the time they're done. And then Chizkiyahu, who has the great miracle where he's saved from Sancheiriv, comes out and gets all the loot of Sancheiriv, strengthens his army, strengthens his bases, strengthens his walls, his fortification. Now he has all the food in the world, he has all the armor in the world, he has everything he needs. Okay, now it's logical that he was able to turn to what was left of the Philistines and destroy them. So even though the Navi doesn't say it openly, and I don't see it in the commentaries openly, I think that when you put the whole prophecy together, that seems to be what the prophet is referring to.
Well, saying,